if you're going to be in the ministry, you better learn to laugh. When something happens like did with Dwight years ago, and folks start laughing, laugh with them until it's over. There are some things that I don't laugh about that I've done throughout the years. But I do want to preach to you today about the joy of serving the Lord. Now, how many of you think it's a great joy to be at Ambassador Baptist College preparing for the ministry? Be honest. How many of you got up grumbling, complaining about your workload this morning? I know you're not going to raise your hand, but think inside. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. I do want to pass greetings on to you. Missionary Dalton Heath said to tell you hello. Titus Hazel didn't tell me to tell you hello, but I'm sure if she'd have known I was coming, she would have. She's been real sick this past week. I appreciate the students that have served in our church as interns, and we're looking forward to another one, Tim Brubaker, Lord willing, this summer, being with us again. And we do love Ambassador Baptist College. If you would, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want to read verses 1 through 8. If there is a book in the Bible that teaches us about service and how to serve, it's Romans chapter 12. And it's coming from a man who knows how to serve, who's instructing a church on how they ought to serve in the ministry. Now, I want you to understand, you are already serving the Lord here at Ambassador Baptist College. You may be a student, but I guarantee you, you're having a positive or a negative ministry with somebody. And so, as I preach to you about future ministry and the joy of serving, I want you to understand, it can be a joy to serve the Lord even today. And so, let's read God's Word, let's pray, and let's consider this subject this morning of the joy of serving the Lord. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want you to understand, he's not talking about three different will of God's here. He's talking about they're all the same. The good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. That's all the same thing. It's not three choices that you have. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with what? Cheerfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. What a blessing. What an opportunity to preach to these young folks today. And Lord, I pray that when we're done with this message this morning, that each person that hears this message will leave here this morning with a determination to serve you with joy in the ministry. Help us, Lord, to be joyful even on difficult days. Help us to be joyful with difficult people. Lord, help us to be joyful when the assignments are piling on, even as a student. Help us to be joyful in our ministry with fellow students. Help us to be joyful as we live for you each day. And may you work in our hearts and our lives this morning to convict us of this, that we need to be joyful in our ministry for you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know some people that just have a mean spirit about them? Have you ever run into any pastors or preachers before that It seems like they're just about ready to destroy everybody. I believe that you can have a cheerful attitude and a joy in the ministry of serving the Lord even when you're dealing with difficult problems. I admonish you this morning to determine that you're going to serve the Lord with gladness, that you're going to serve the Lord with joy. I understand some days are going to be more difficult than other days. And sometimes it just hits you hard. It seems like all of the problems come at one time. But you're still serving the same God on difficult days that you're serving on good days. And so we need to be joyful in our service for the Lord. There's only one thing that I can think of that is more contagious than a joyous spirit. And that's a disgruntled, discouraged spirit. You can get a couple of disgruntled students in the school and it will spread. You can get a couple of disgruntled people in the ministry and it will spread. The men that are in here that have been pastoring for a while that are teaching you, I'm sure they've gone to preacher's fellowships on Monday mornings in the past. And some pastor has been telling you about what he let his people have the day before. Well, you need to have a joyful spirit. I believe that we're to rebuke, exhort, encourage, all of those things, and have a joyful spirit as we serve the Lord. I hope as you leave here this morning that you will be encouraged in whatever stage of your Christian life that you're in to have a joyful spirit about you. Circumstances are not always joyous, but serving God can always be done with a joyous heart. I want to look at several things this morning that you have to have a right perspective about if you're going to serve with a joyful spirit. The first thing I want you to see is in verses 1 and 2, and that is that the joy of serving comes from a right perspective about God. You need to understand who God is. You need to understand that as you are tempted to be critical of others, as you are tempted to complain about other folks, as you're tempted to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that you must think about who God is so you can get a proper perspective about who you are and who everyone else is. Now let's look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Apart from the mercy of God Almighty, you might not even be saved today. Apart from His mercy, you might not be a student in Ambassador Baptist College. Apart from His mercy, you may not be in the ministry. But because God is merciful, He has allowed you as a sinner saved by the grace of God to be a student at Ambassador Baptist College, not necessarily just preparing for ministry, but being in ministry while you prepare for ministry. And you ought to be serving with a joyful heart. But preacher, I just wasn't born this way. A whole lot of other people say that too. But no matter, let me tell you how you were born. You were born a sinner. You're saved by the grace of God, and you can't say that that first birth is having an impact about your attitude because you're born again by the mercy and grace of God. And there should be changes in your life. But I just have a hard time being a joyous person on the outside or being happy. I have a hard time expressing myself joyfully. Then you need to talk to the Lord. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 4:7? Thou hast put gladness in my heart. I do believe that God must have a sense of humor. Look at some of you. A couple of years ago, there was a global warming meeting, and I think it was New York City, and they were having a major blizzard. This winter is a little colder, especially in eastern North Carolina. It was 7 degrees in eastern North Carolina last week, and it was 72 by the weekend. We're not accustomed to those cold temperatures. 6 inches of snow. We're not accustomed to that either. And I think sometimes God, the Bible says He does laugh. We're made in His image. And he wants us to have a joyful heart. And the psalmist said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Isaiah even said in Isaiah 65 and verse 14, and when I think of Isaiah, I don't think of happiness, first of all. But Isaiah said, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart. What good singing we had at our church Sunday morning. Now, we normally have good singing, but we really had good singing this past Sunday morning with Ambassador Ensemble there. What good singing this morning. When our choir sings and when we have special music in our church, we try to express to our folks, look like you're happy about what you're singing about. We should be happy. We should be happy that God's mercy has been extended to us and He will let us do something for Him. Your happiness in the service of the Lord is going to depend about a right view of God and yourself. I believe the busier you are, the happier you will be. Now, I can tell you why some of you are not happy about classes. You're not studying enough. I can tell you why you're not happy about waking up some mornings early because there's a project that you've waited till the last minute to do. Now, see, if you had been busy in the service of the Lord and these projects, if you complain about a project you've got to do for class, you're going to complain about preparing a sermon. Not like I haven't ever complained about that in my busy schedules that we have sometimes. If you complain about having to be in class on time now, you're going to complain about having to be at church on time. I worked, after I graduated from college, I went to Danville, Virginia, and I worked for a man named W.C. Bradley. He was already in his 80s. I highly recommend you going and working for somebody who's in their 80s. He said to me, Tim, if you are not at church 1 hour before church starts, you are late. Would anybody like to care to guess what kind of time I get at church? Now, when he's not around? Over an hour before church starts because I want to have things ready and right. Now listen, whatever you're complaining about now, you will complain about in the future. So have a right perspective about yourself and about God. The roots of happiness grow deepest in the soil of service. The busier you are for the Lord, the more you're going to enjoy the ministry and being a part of that ministry. You're going to see the benefit of people being saved, trained, prepared, and serving in service for the Lord. It'll help you stay put as well. The next thing I want you to see, your holiness and joyful service is to be acceptable to God. Look at verse 1, wholly acceptable unto God. Verse 2. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You cannot be conformed to the world right now as a student and have a joyful spirit in the ministry. As a student, learn to live for the Lord now. So when you're in ministry, you will live for the Lord as well and be happy about it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Literally, that word means transfigured. Do you know anybody else who was transfigured? Transfigured by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's all one will of God, not three different will of God. Well, I'll be satisfied with the good will of God. I'll be satisfied with the acceptable will of God because I'll never attain the perfect will of God. They're all the same. That's not three stages that you can choose from. And I will tell you that it is the will of God for all of us to rejoice in the Lord. Pastor, how do you know that? Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Thessalonians, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We need to learn to be in His will and rejoice in the Lord. Holiness and righteousness in your life will make it easier to be a rejoicing servant of God. I would ask the men that have been in ministry around here a while, were there ever days that it was hard to rejoice in the Lord? And I imagine all of them can give you some accounts of days that it was difficult. But we can rejoice in the Lord even when circumstances are rough. In Virginia, there was a man that was kind of like a chaperone in our youth group, and his name was Dewey Todd. And every now and then, as a youth pastor, I would begin to complain a little bit about some of the young people not being where they ought to be in their spiritual life, like I really attained perfectly right away. And I would mention to him, you know, they really need to work on this and this and this. And he always responded the same way. I know, but did you notice this? They are doing this. Always was looking for where they were growing and where they were changing in their lives. Let's learn to rejoice. Let's don't learn to complain. So let's have a right perspective about God. It's His mercies that has allowed us to be in the ministry. Let's have a right perspective about yourself. Now, we come to verse 3. Paul makes one of the bluntest statements that I think all of us can look at about ourselves. In verse 3, he tells us that we're not as important as we think we are. How many of you thought the Denver Broncos were important before this weekend? Did anything change? It did. I was hoping they would win, but they didn't. Those football players think they're pretty important, don't they? And so do preachers, and so do missionaries, and so do pastors, maybe evangelists. All of us have a tendency to think that we are pretty important people. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. How many people? He's saying this to everybody. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gifts people in the things that he wants them to do. I hear people sing, and I think, I wish I could sing like them. I hear people preach, and I think, I wish I could preach like them. I see people play instruments, and I think, I wish I could play an instrument like them. God gifts people, and God has gifted you. And I want to mention this as well. I almost preached to you about God's timing in your life. And I want you to understand, God has gifted you with abilities, and you have been born in the fullness of time for your life, just like Christ was. He was born at the right time, and you were born at the right time. And be glad for the time that God has placed you on this earth to live for Him. It's the right time. Let's be careful about judging other folks because God has gifted them with abilities. God gifts some greatly. God gifts some in other areas not as great as others. And when we begin to have a judgmental spirit, we're not having a rejoicing spirit. Jonathan Edwards said, the unparalleled joy that many of them speak of is what they find when they are lowest in the dust, emptied most of themselves, and as it were annihilating themselves before God, when they are nothing and God is all. Seeing their own unworthiness, it isn't interesting, that was the song right before the message, depending not at all on themselves, but alone on Christ, and ascribing all glory to God. Jonathan Edwards says we need to think more of Him and less of ourselves. Fellas, preparing for ministry, do you know the messages that I thought, man, this is a terrific message. This message, somebody's going to respond to this message. I have put hours in this message, and this is a great message. How many of you men have experienced an invitation where nobody responded? It's often those messages. And then there are weeks where there's three funerals, there's six people in the hospital, you're up during the night, You're dealing with family problems and everything is falling in at one time. And you go into the pulpit, I am so unprepared. I am embarrassed about what I've got to preach today. And somebody gets saved. People come up, preacher, that was a terrific message. When we're emptied of ourselves, God can use us. Now, don't use that as an excuse not to get prepared. If you've got a week, you can get prepared. But God uses that. Don't think of yourself more importantly than you ought to think. You know, even if you are pastoring a church, you're only one part of that ministry. A vital part, but only one part. Rejoicing in your own abilities will wreck your ability to serve God faithfully. Look at verses 4 through 8. I was reading these verses one year, and I was thinking, what can I do to get our folks more incorporated in the church? And I'll tell you about that after I read these verses. For as we have many members in one body. Okay, I want you to help me out a minute. Just look at what part of your body you can. Somebody tell me what you see. Hands. And on those hands are fingers. Fairly small part of the body. But some people know what it's like to do without some of those. And those folks would say, that's a mighty important part of the body. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to amputate parts of the body of Christ from the church and get them out unnecessarily. And then we'll do without them. And then we'll miss them. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we and many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. When you pastor one day, when you're in evangelism one day and you go into a church, when you're the wives of pastors, missionaries, evangelists, remember that that church is a body that you are a part of. I like it when my body works well. I don't like it when it doesn't work well. It is joyous when there's no back pain. It is wonderful when I don't have to go to the doctor. Christmas a year ago, one of the ladies in our church gave my wife and my family one of those cans of popcorn. It has caramel popcorn, it had buttered popcorn, then it had some kind of other, I don't know what it was. Probably cost $5. And we were having a snack. And I was introducing that to my body. And I bit down on a piece of popcorn on this side. And there was a kernel that was not completely popped. And you know, this real little tooth in the back of my mouth broke in half. And it was New Year's Day. Does anybody know what dentists do the first week of the year? They don't report to the office. And I want to tell you, that was a miserable 3 or 4 days. And then I got the bill for the repair for my body. And that popcorn, I have not eaten any sense. Over $1,000 because of one little piece of popcorn. Now let's compare that to the church. You know, sometimes the problems are that insignificant as a little piece of popcorn. But if you're not careful, it's the little foxes and the little pieces of popcorn that will destroy your ministry and that church's ministry. Let's have a joyful spirit. We're all one body working together. The next thing I want you to see, you are to serve the Lord with three simple character traits that Paul gives us here. In verse 8, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Serve with simplicity. You know, there are some people that pursue happiness and other people create it. In whatever ministry you're in, you create a happy, holy environment for your church to be in. And you can do that, and you best do it with simplicity. I do not recommend that your Sunday school classes be solely Greek classes. Although Greek is important. I do not recommend that you go in the first service and you start using theological terms, especially in Eastern North Carolina. Serve with simplicity, sincerity, generosity is what all of this means, bountifulness, singleness, simplicity. Don't overcomplicate your service to the Lord. Folks will appreciate a non-complicated ministry. They will appreciate it. Now, I'm glad you're here getting an education. And I want all of you to make straight A's. Probably won't happen, but I want you to. I want you to be able to graduate and go out into ministry excited about serving the Lord and living for the Lord. But it's 1,000 times better to have some common sense with without an education than to have an education with no common sense. And what these professors and these folks here at the college are trying to do for you is to take your natural abilities, common sense, and give you some education to go with it so that you can go out and do a great work for God. That's what you need to do. Serve with simplicity. Serve with diligence. Verse 8, he that ruleth with diligence. Men, especially the men, be eager, earnest. Treat the ministry like your father's business. Give it the care, the diligence, the earnestness, the haste that needs to be involved with getting the job done in the ministry, and you'll find out it is a joyful ministry. If you're not diligent, you will find yourselves complaining because of the workload, complaining because of the things that need to be done. Be diligent, and you'll be joyous. Be careful to be a busy and wise leader in your service to the Lord. And you know, you ought to be practicing that right now. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Didn't say destroy it. It didn't say hurt them. It said feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, because somebody is going to make you do it, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Willingly go into the ministry and be diligent and be joyful as you serve the Lord. So serve with simplicity, serve with diligence, serve with cheerfulness. There is nothing wrong with you having a smile on your face. Some of the happiest times that I can remember in the ministry is with the people in the church, not me being alone in my office. I highly recommend to you that before services, get out and mingle with your people. You'll find out a lot before church and after church. Don't hang out in your office until time to go to the pulpit. Mingle with the folks. And fellas, whoever you marry, make sure she learns to mingle too. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be cheerful. Be merciful to the folks in your church. God was merciful to you by having a cheerful countenance. I joke with my folks sometimes when we get into church on Sunday morning. Okay, this looks like a funeral service. Let's smile. Some of the most cheerful times have been funeral services of saints of God that love the Lord. So you've got to have a right perspective about yourself. Then you've got to have a right perspective about the people. Love your people. Hey, evangelist, when you come to my church and you preach, if you learn to love my people, they'll respond to your messages a whole lot better. I could name some of the folks that some are sitting right here in this auditorium that know the names of my people as well as I do. Because when they come, they get to know the people of my church. Look at verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. This would solve most church problems right here. In honor, preferring one another. Be sincere about your love, not hypocritical in your love for others. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are some people in the church that you're going to be able to like better than others, but you got to love them all. I had one lady come to me one time, and I understand this after meeting her husband. She said, "Preacher, I love my husband, but I don't like him." You know who I'm talking about. Love the folks. Show your love. Just don't talk about it. If you get up in the pulpit and you're preaching, you tell your folks, "Oh, I love you," but you don't show it, they're going to know it. Show your love. Just don't talk about it. Cherish those whom God has called you to work with. Think. If God has placed you somewhere to minister, then you are in that place, in that time, for God to love those people as much as you can to serve God. Preacher, are you just saying being happy with them all the time? Some of the greatest love that you can show is to sit them down and help them through the problems of their life. Some of the greatest love you can show is that, you know, we're going to have to exercise some discipline if things don't straighten up. Now, if you've been loving them all along and you sit them down and you say, "It's time to get this fixed and get it right," they will listen most of the time. If you've loved them prior to that time, love them, cherish them, put others first. Love others enough to be a willing sacrifice for them. It would be hard for me to imagine my life without New Testament Baptist Church. God has allowed me to minister, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine for almost 27 years now. I can't imagine my life without those folks. God may have another plan, but I love them, and I'll tell you something else I know. I know they love me. Else they would not have put up with me all these years. Live for your people. Just don't love them. Live for your people. Verses 11 through 13. Look at this first thing. Not slothful in business. Can I tell you, your studies is your business in God's will right now. Are you slothful in it? Fervent in spirit. When you turn that paper in, you ought to be excited that you've given your best. When you're ready to preach a sermon, you ought to be excited that you're prepared. You're ready. For whatever time you've had, you're ready. And you ought to be excited to give that message to those folks. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. It does not say curse them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Real quick, nine things in these verses I find. Be busy. Be excited. Be obedient to God's word. Be joyful. Be patient. Be prayerful. Be giving. Be entertaining. Be a blessing. And so we're to live for your people and then live with your people. One of the families that have several kids in our master club, their boys are playing basketball. And the mother called Pastor Jackie the other day, is there any way you could go to my son's ball game sometime? I think you've already been. You'll have a greater ministry. Verse 15, rejoice when your people rejoice. What does verse 15 say? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. When somebody's celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary and you're pastoring them, or you're an evangelist and you're there on that weekend, you know what you ought to do? You ought to rejoice with them. When somebody is engaged and it's in God's will, rejoice with them. When somebody comes up to you and they've been married 1 month and they say, we're celebrating our 1 month anniversary, I rejoice with them and laugh my head off when I walk away. You remember? It says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Here's one time you can weep. It says, weep with them that weep. Do not know how many times in the years that I've been pastoring at New Testament, I have wept with our folks who are weeping over lost loved ones, over those who've passed in death. I want to give you an illustration. It's kind of funny. Brother Buck Sassnett was passing away. And we had visited him for many weeks on just about a weekly or every other week basis as he was at home. He would always say, Preacher, I just don't understand why the Lord let me lay around here. I'm not able to do anything for him anymore. And we'd pray with him and we'd encourage him. And then the week came where he started steadily going down. On a Monday night, I sat down for supper and the phone rang. As soon as I sat down for supper, does that happen to anybody else? And it was the family. And hospice were telling them that he only had an hour or two. Well, I knew Brother Buck, strong will, but they called. So I quickly threw another couple of spoonfuls in and I left and went to the house. They told me that he was unconscious, that he would probably not come out of that. And I walked in the room and Mrs. Sassnett said, Pastor Tim, thank you so much for coming. His eyes popped open. Is that you, Pastor Tim? And I am telling you the truth. That man, for 2 hours, said, I love you, Pastor Tim. It got so bad that one of his daughters said, Daddy, don't you love us too? Oh, y'all know I love y'all. This went on for 3 days. We wept with them, but we rejoiced with them too, that he's in heaven. Live, weep with your people, weep. Think in the culture of your people. I'm not talking about worldliness. I'm talking about the way they live. I have a lady in our church. All of our interns have met her. When you go to her house, there's a sign on the door that has a gun on it. Right, Titus? You better call and let them know you're coming before you go. Or they know on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock we have visitation and we might be coming. You better think right, or you're not going to have anything to think with. Brother Dalton Heath went to visit her 2 weeks ago. And nobody came to the front door, and he went to the back door. And she came out not with a pistol, but with a shotgun. You better learn to think in the culture of your folks. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. Be not wise in your own conceit. Aren't we there often? And then live honest before your folks. Verses 17 and 18. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live honest for your people. The last thing I want you to see is joy comes from having a right perspective about your enemy. I want you to understand that if you're going to live for God, you are going to have enemies. You will have people that will be an enemy that will try to destroy your joy and service for the Lord. I don't want to discourage you, but I believe every one of you is going to have somebody in your church that is put there to keep you on your feet and on your toes and to keep you doing right. Paul tells the church at Romans that vengeance is God's. Now, every one of us are human, and some of us will think sometimes, if I only could. But God will set all matters straight. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When you become vindictive, you are not victorious. There are those through the years in New Testament Baptist Church that have come and gone. And some of them, when they have gone, I have said, thank you, Lord. But I will tell you what I do every time I meet them in town. And if I hear they're sick and they're in the hospital, they cannot say that Tim Daniel, even though he is no longer my pastor, he did not come visit me when I was in the hospital, if I know they're in the hospital. When I see them in town, I go up and speak to them as if nothing ever happened. I can't guarantee you that in my mind I'm acting as nothing ever happened. But I want to let them know my joy is not destroyed. The next thing, virtue is to be shown to enemy. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, you know what the next two words are? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. My dad used to always tell me, if somebody mistreats you, be kind to them. You'll just be heaping fire on them. Listen to what this says. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. True charity and true love is helping those you have every reason to believe would not help you if you needed it. And the last thing, vengeance is God, virtue is to be shown to your enemy. And if you do these things with a joyful spirit and ministry, I believe victory can be yours in serving the Lord with joy. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil. Read with me the last part of that verse. But overcome evil with good. But preacher, it's just so tough to serve the Lord. Do you know you're serving the Lord when God wants you to? The days we live in are horrible. That's why He has you here. That's why you're preparing. Who was it in the Old Testament that was talking about that you are here for such a time as this? You are serving God and preparing to serve God now because it's in God's time. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Do you know what the Lord says now? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Learn to be kind. If you're joyous, you will be. If you have a joy in serving the Lord, you will be kind. And kindness is the ability to treat your enemy decently. I'm sure you've heard horror tales about the ministry. It's just like our missionaries go and travel churches. The church that stands out is the one that treated them badly. Right? If I could sum all of this up, and I am right now with one sentence, I want you to be able to enjoy yourself in the ministry by serving God with joy. Yes, trials. Yes, tribulations. Yes, afflictions will come. But remember, rejoice in the Lord. with heads bowed for just a moment. Just going to ask a question, then I'm going to turn the service over to Dr. Beal. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor Tim, I need to learn to have a joy in serving the Lord right now while I'm an ambassador. I need to be busy in my work right now, in the ministry right now. Anybody like that this morning, please pray for me. I need the joy of the Lord. Amen. I pray that that joy will extend over into your ministry one day as you serve the Lord as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. May you meet the needs of each young person's heart here today and help us, Lord, to have a joy as we serve you. In Jesus' name.